There was a minister who went on a missions trip to Africa, and this particular minister was old school, hellfire and brimstone. He was that type of preacher. And he comes back, and his sole purpose is to figure out how he can get contributions to be just amazing on this one Sunday. He wants everyone to give, and his sole purpose is using the missions trip to really make people give. And so he's up there preaching, and he's spewing, saying, oh, you need to be thankful. Be thankful that you're in America where there are churches so you can actually be saved. I went to Africa, and there weren't any churches available, so nobody could go to church. And he starts wrapping up his message, and he starts aiming at kids to pull on people's heartstrings. And he says, you know what you need to do, kids? You need to save up everything you can. Your dimes, your nickels, your dollars, everything. And you know what you need to do with it? And without even skipping a beat, little kid in the front row stands up and says, yeah, I need to buy a ticket to Africa. It is so hard today, in my opinion, to invite somebody to church because Christianity has such a negative stereotype attached to it. And that's not our fault. One of the things I love here about The Quest is we accept everybody for where they're at, but not everybody knows that. I mean, people have such a negative view of the church. They look at it like the IRS. They think it's complicated, greedy, and if somebody from upper management calls you, you're in trouble. It scares them. And yet, we as Christ followers need to recognize that reaching out to people who are hurting is so imperative to our growth as a Christ follower. It's the Great Commission. Matthew 28, verse 18 says, Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. We have been given the authority to reach out to those who are hurting and who do not know that there is a God out there that loves them and cares for them. But we tend to shy away from that. And I think part of that reason is we're so scared to offend people. And in this day and age where you have to be so incredibly PC, it's impossible too. And that's one of the things that I want to really focus on as we dive into this next part of the series. We named the camp series, Camp I Want to Be Here. And we're at the stage where we're talking about meeting people, making friends. If you've ever been to camp, you know that a key factor in camp is, we talked about last week, room assignment, so you're put with people you don't know. You have to make friends. You have to get out there and put yourself out there. Otherwise, you're going to be alone the entire time of camp. And that's just no fun. And that's one of the things as the church is we need to get out there and start making friends. And the first part of reaching out to somebody is having conversation, because you can't have transformation without the conversation. This fact is made so apparent to me in a story that I will never forget. I was 18, I was making my way out of my youth group at the time, and there was a guy who was coming, he was 16, and he did not believe in God, didn't care for it, didn't like it. I don't even know why he was there. Ironically, though, his name was Christian. And he would come every week, don't know why, but our youth pastor, Josh, who is an incredible youth pastor, he's still in ministry today, would always reach out to this guy, would always just come and have a conversation with him. The interesting thing, though, about Christian, actually two interesting things, was this. Christian had long hair, go down to about here, but more interestingly, he never said a word, ever. You ask him a question, and he'd either go, not said yes, or, and if you asked him to explain further, that's it. That was the interesting thing about Christian. But regardless, Josh would always just go and sit with him. He'd talk with him. It was usually just one-sided. And he'd tell Christian about the love of God. And this went on. And one night, it's just a typical night, nothing new, nothing great about it. We're doing worship, and if I remember correctly, we didn't have a worship team, so we're using YouTube videos, if you can believe that. And in the middle of worship, Christian runs to the front and starts bawling. Lifts his hands up to God, and I know this only because Josh told me later he accepted Christ into his life and wanted to start a relationship with him. How did that happen? Because of conversation. Later on, we find out the reason Christian had long hair, he wanted to hide from the world. He didn't have any value in himself. He didn't say anything because he thought anything that he would say wasn't worth it. But now he had value because there was a conversation. Somebody talked to him and told him about God. And today, Christian has graduated Vanguard University. He has his credentials to be a pastor and works at a camp that ministers to teenagers just like him. That's all because of conversation. Mostly what I want to focus on is two things today. The first being, how do we reach our community? How do we reach out to those who are lost? How do we approach the subject? And I'm going to break it down into 3 points. And then I'm going to talk about the why, which is possibly the most important part of this talk. Because if we don't understand the why we do this, why we're all about reaching our community, we'll lose the motivation. The first point today is this: connect. We want to connect with people. In John chapter 13, verse 34, Jesus gives us the command to love others as he loves us. And all throughout the gospel, if you read the New Testament, Jesus is initially doing one thing with people. He's connecting with them. He's going and having dinner with them. He's meeting with them out in the fields. Even the miracle of the 5 loaves and 2 fishes. What is he doing? He's eating. Jesus is constantly stuffing his face, but he's building relationships with people. He's connecting with those people. And that's what we as Christians have to do. One of the personal things in my life is about 2 years ago, was finding myself working a job that I did not want to work. I had always wanted to be in ministry. I had always felt the call that God had put on my life to go and to reach people and to build relationships and tell people about God. But through some personal choices and some financial choices that I had to make, I had to leave my position as a student director over in Colorado. Nobody's fault, it was just the circumstances that happened. And I ended up working a job with my dad. Now, I love my dad. I loved working with my dad. I did not love the job. The title was facilities director, which is just a fancy title for janitor. And all I would do all day is really clean, take out garbage, fix toilets if I have to, if you could call it that. And I hated almost every second of it. And I started to get really depressed, feeling like, is this it? Is this all that I am called to do? There's got to be more than this. And I felt lost. And I started to lose a hold of that truth in me that I'm called to something better. Not that tossing out trash is bad, but I want something more. I want to do something more with my life than that. And so I find myself tossing garbage out one day. And all of a sudden, that's when he came. It was a guy I knew who was to be respected. He worked there at the office. He was a big-time guy. He walks up and he's dressed all nicely, and I'm, in my, working polo that's all filthy. It's got the logo on it, and I'm tossing garbage. And he comes up to me and he says, "Hey, when you get a sec, I want to take 5 minutes of your time. Can I just meet with you?" And inside, I'm just so pessimistic. I'm like, he just probably needs something fixed. Okay, yeah, you got it, man. I will be right over there when I get a chance. It might be a little bit, but I'll be right over there. And he just smiles and says, "That's great." So as soon as my shift is over, I wait that long, I go and find him, and he tells me we're in his office. He says, "Sit down." I'm like, "Cool, all right, yeah, well, what do you need? What can I do?" And then, I'll never forget this, he says, "It's really been put on my heart, James, that I want to coach you and be there for you. I feel like you have more to offer in your life than even you know, and I want to help you achieve that potential if I can, in my humble opinion." So I pick my mouth up off the floor, and I say, "That sounds great. Let's do it. When can we start?" He says, "We just did." His name is Jason Friend, and he's one of the top missionaries in South America and runs a radio station that evangelizes to millions. I made a connection with somebody that made me feel like I had value and told me that I am somebody worth doing something for God. That connection that day made me feel like I had a friend that I could reach out to. I could ask any question, and I do. I have tons of questions. I don't know this thing, but I know that I can call him up, and he will always be there for me. That's connection. That's the start of a relationship. If you don't have connection, you've missed it. It is crucial to start that relationship. Now, it says in the Great Commission to reach to the nations. It's over billions of people. How many of you believe that you can reach the billions in this world? Good for you. I can't. I don't have those skill set. What I want to point out today is this, is that there is a concept, and it's called oikos. Now, no, I'm not talking about the Greek yogurt. I am talking about, it's a Greek word, and it means family. More specifically, though, what it means is this. It's a group of 8 to 15 people who are close to you, who you are close to. Now, how many of you believe that in your lifetime, your entire lifetime, you can reach 8 to 15 people? A lot of more hands go up. 8 to 15 people who are close to you, your family, your friends, your co-workers, anyone you find across that you see on a daily basis, that's your oikos, and we need to connect with them. That has been our calling. That's what Jesus tells us to do, is to reach that group. The last thing before I move on to the next point is a lot of times we are afraid of offending people. We're afraid to initiate that conversation. It was last week I had a meeting with a group of people, and we are planning a kids' outreach event. And I started the meeting off with the why we're doing this, what's the point, and saying that we have been called as a church to reach out and to initiate that conversation with kids. And one of the people in that group, I love this, they made the comment, you know, what's interesting is for me, somebody told me about Jesus, but I felt it inside of me all along that God was drawing me towards the church. Understand something. You don't have to initiate a conversation. God has already initiated the conversation. He's already speaking to people. The problem is they don't know it. They don't understand God. They're not familiar with that dialogue like you and I might be. And so it's up to us to come along and almost translate, if you will, and explain to them, this is what's going on in your life. It's been going on all along. Don't you know? And then that dialogue takes place and that connection. That's so important. God is initiating the conversation. The next point is to model. One of the new aspects of the culture and the world we live in today is authenticity. And a lot of people would say that's a millennial thing. I think what's happened, though, is people have yearned for authenticity for a long time. It's just recently come out in the culture where when we go online and we're looking up a church and we come to visit it, it better be like it looks like online. Otherwise, what? They're fake. And one of the things I love here is it's real people. It's what you get. And that's what the culture is looking for. But us as Christians, as Christ followers, what it's done for us is it's asked us to step up our game. And I think this is going to be the hardest part you hear about today, because what it focuses on is us, individually, taking a good long look in the mirror and saying, where do I need improvement? Now, I can speak personally for me. There is a huge list. But for us, I think it really narrows it down to one or two things that we have to work on, because if we don't, people will snuff that out when we're trying to reach them. And there won't be that authenticity, that real. And let me tell you something. Let me tell you something about the millennial generation. I hate being labeled a millennial, but I'll call myself that. They are the greatest BS sniffers out there. They will figure it out, all right? We need to be authentic because, and this is really the bottom line, people will listen to what you say, but they're going to do what you do. We've got a little exercise today. I need everybody's participation. Are you awake? Okay, you better get awake real fast. It's really easy. Don't have to get up. You have to do one thing, all right? I'm going to say one, two, three, go. And when I do, I just want you to clap your hands together. You ready? All right. One, two, three, go. What happened? People will listen to what you have to say, but they're going to watch you, and they're going to do what you do. So if you say, hey, God is going to change your life, here's how he changed my life, and yet you do something else over here on the side, BS sniffers, man, they'll find it. They'll find it. In Matthew 5, verse 16, it says, to shine our light before others so that they may see and give glory to God. I found this quote, and it's from John Lennon of the Beatles. He said once, Christianity will go and we will be more popular than Jesus. It's been 1,986 years later, and Jesus is still remembered today. Why is that? Because he did what he did, and he was authentic. He modeled the great lifestyle. He modeled how to have a true relationship with God. And quite frankly, I don't remember John Lennon every day, but I remember what Jesus did for me. The last point today is this: pursue. I think this might be the most important part of reaching our community. In Luke 19:10, it says, the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. We have to seek the lost. Something my dad taught me, and it rings true to this day, is, James, with everything there is a balance. And what he meant was this: oftentimes, we'll tend to go to one extreme or the other. And when it comes to reaching those that need help who are hurting, we can't be one or the other. We have to be right down the middle. The one extreme being where we beat them over the head with it, which it never works. As I'm sure you've seen, people out there raising signs. God be with them, that's great. But I don't know if that works as effectively as building a relationship one-on-one. But we also can't be on the other side where we say absolutely nothing. There has to be a balance. And if God has truly changed our life, and we believe that he has a better plan for all, would we not keep reminding people of that in the moments that we're given? One of my favorite stories to tell, and I heard it recently about 8 months ago, I was in a conference in Pittsburgh. It was a church plant conference, and this pastor gets up, and he starts to tell his story, and I want to paraphrase it today by this. He had gotten to a place in his life when he was young where he was emotionally distraught, and he didn't know what to live for. And he started driving one day, and one of the things that he just wanted to do was drive into a telephone pole and end his life. He was so tired of being lonely, and church had not helped him. He had gone to a church previously, sat in a seat, and the first person to greet him is this individual who says, hey, you're in my seat, get out. And he was desperate for something. Well, every morning, before he would get in his truck and go, his neighbor would be out waiting, at least I think she was waiting, and she'd have a moment where she'd say, hi, you look kind of down. Would you like to come to church with me? And his immediate response is, nope, I don't want that. And this went on. First time, second time, third, fourth, fifth. 10 times later, he finally said, what have I got to lose? Yeah, I'll go, just to get you off my back. So he goes to this lady's church, and immediately he's late on purpose, finds his way to the back, can't find a place to seat. He's scared to sit down for obvious reasons. And this woman comes, finds him, notices that, takes him by the arm, leads him down, and sits with him. And people just start greeting him, saying hi. The service goes on, and the pastor gets up to speak, and he sounds very smart, knows what he's talking about. But there's something different about this guy. He speaks of a love like he's actually experienced it. And he's telling the crowd that God loves you and wants to see great things happen in your life. And this guy just can't take it anymore. And so when the pastor asks, does anybody want to start a relationship with God? His hand just shoots right up, tears streaming down his face. That man's name, and it's not quite important, but I do want to give this guy the credit of his story. It's Josh Monet. He's the pastor of Turning Point in Kentucky, and they reach thousands every weekend service, every gathering. And I loved how he ends his story. He says this: what would have happened to the thousands of people that we've reached for God if the one person hadn't kept inviting me? We have got to pursue people. We have got to go after them. It's not beating them over the head, but it's saying, out of love, I know you need something that only God can do in your life. We have to pursue people. My question to you today is this: why do you want to reach your community? I've put a little thing there in your notes, and it's, what's your why? And I want to encourage you. You might not be able to answer that right now, and that's fine, but I want you to take the time to answer that. Because the bottom line is this: for me, at least I will say, there's one question in my mind that rings true. Is every single life worth going out there and telling about God? does every single individual deserve to hear the good news that there's a God out there that cares about them and can radically change their life. That's my why. That's why I get up every morning. That's why I do ministry, because I believe the answer is yes. But that's my why. I want to encourage you today, find your why, seek it out, ask God, and then do this. It says in Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 2, write the vision, make it plain on tablets so that he may run who reads it. Friends, we have got to write that vision on the wall. When somebody puts a name on your heart, don't just forget it. Put it on the fridge, put it on your phone, put it wherever you can see it. Remember that person and connect with them, model it for them, and pursue them. A very wise man once told me, there's two things that you have to do every time you end a talk. And the first is this: if you want a relationship with God, or you want to recommit yourself to God, I want to give you that opportunity. So if you could bow your heads with me and close your eyes. If you don't know God, I'm going to give you that opportunity. I don't want to be a hypocrite today. I'm asking to reach our community. So if you need God, I want to give you that opportunity. But if you want to recommit yourself, I told this story earlier today. There was a pastor at another church I know, and he would always ask, do people want to start a relationship with God? And there was this guy who would sit in the back always, and every time he'd raise his hand, his name was Warren. Every time pastor asked that. And finally, pastor had to go home and say, dude, what's up? I know you've raised your hand. I know that you have God in your life. Why do you keep raising your hand? I'm not downing you. It's just, I gotta know. And Warren's like, pastor, I've experienced my life before God. I don't ever want to miss an opportunity to get more of him. That's why I raised my hand. And can I tell you something? It's gonna sound like a sad thing, but it's not. Warren passed away last year, but I know exactly where Warren is at today. So if that's you, if you need that today, would you raise your hand right now? Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Let's pray together. And if you don't have the words, just listen to mine. God, right now, I thank you. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know where I'm going. But I know that you have the answers. And I want to start this thing with you, whether for the first time or start it again. I surrender myself to you and trust that you will help me figure this crazy thing called life out. Thank you, God, in your name. And with your heads still bowed and eyes closed, I want to do one last thing. The second thing that wise man told me was this, is to challenge people. And I want to challenge you today. Will you accept this challenge? Will you this week reach out to one person who you know they need to hear about God? They might have heard about him before, but they need to hear about him again. I want to challenge that to you. Who's going to accept that challenge today? Would you just raise your hand? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Can I tell you something? I am so proud to be a part of this church, and I can't wait to see the wonderful things that God is going to do here at The Quest. Let's pray once again. God, thank you for today. Bless us. Keep us. Protect us. Be with us this week. Help each and every single one of us to experience your love in a unique and wonderful way this week. And thank you. Thank you for this church. In your name I pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen.